The Dory Monson Show on Cairo Radio. This is The Big Lead.
Coming to you from the Carter Subaru Studio and streaming on Facebook Live. Welcome! Welcome to The Big Show. I have quite the deal for you today. What if I told you that I could virtually eliminate gridlock in this region? I could lower housing prices, especially for the poor and the working class. And I could raise wages, again, especially for the poor and the working class. What if I told you that I could do all of that and it wouldn't cost you one penny in tax dollars? Does that sound pretty good? Let's get right to our big lead.
The Big Lead, Dory Monson Show exclusive.
So I could do all of those things if you would just have the wisdom to put me in charge with unlimited power. I could eliminate gridlock, lower housing prices, wage growth, and it won't cost taxpayers a dime. What is this magic formula, you say? Are you a witch, you wonder? No, I'm just willing to say things that most people aren't willing to say in this politically correct region. You may have seen the Seattle Times story yesterday. New milestone in King County, immigrant population tops 500,000. And I asked the question on the show because I think there is a distinction between legal immigrants, who I fully support. My grandparents were legal immigrants to America who came through Ellis Island. Immigration is part of the fabric, part of the tapestry, part of the diversity, and one of the many things that makes this a great nation. And we are still incredibly generous in our legal immigration process. Despite lying Congress members like Pramila Jayapal, our country still allows an incredible number of people through the legal immigration system. So I think there's a distinction between immigrants, which in my verbiage is a legal process, versus illegal aliens who are not supposed to be in this country. So I wondered when the Seattle Times had that story yesterday, immigrant population in King County tops 500,000, how many of those so-called immigrants are illegal aliens? And we don't know. The U.S. Census is not allowed to ask that question. They're allowed to. And Donald Trump said he wants to restore that question in 2020, and a lower judge in New York State this morning said, yeah, we're not going to allow the question of whether you're an illegal on the census. So the U.S. Census doesn't determine who's here illegally. Local government won't ask the question because we're a sanctuary state. But here's what I do know. We have hundreds and hundreds of thousands of people in our state who have a driver's license, and they got it with no security, social security number. Now, are all of them illegals? No. Are most of them illegals? Yes. This is one of the easiest states in the United States for an illegal to get a driver's license. And so if we have hundreds and hundreds of thousands, and they're most estimates, we had 350,000 8 years ago because somebody had determined it through a public records request. If we had 350,000 8 years ago, given that we have made a massive push to bring as many illegals to our state as possible, it could be close to a million now. And how many of those million are in King County among that 500,000? A lot. And so, if you put me in charge, what I would do is I would implement things like E-Verify. Employers, if they must determine citizenship status before they hire people. We would provide disincentives. I also would cut off most state taxpayer benefits that go to illegals. We spend billions of dollars and billions on housing and food and education. Now, some of those are mandated. Education, I believe there are constitutional requirements because it says nothing about citizenship status, just that we have to educate the young. So I wouldn't try to do anything unconstitutional. But I would say, not only would my plan not cost you a dime, I would save you billions of dollars a year. But when I hear politicians, and they're talking about all the traffic woes, and this week with the gridlock in Seattle with the viaduct having come down, and they say, well, what are we going to do? We have too many people and not enough roads. So you got to start riding a bike or taking the train. Or maybe instead of becoming the magnet destination in the United States for illegals, and we're the fifth most populous state in the country for number of illegals, if we provided disincentives, you could save the taxpayers billions. If you reduce the number of cars on the road by a couple hundred thousand in King County, you think that would make a massive impact on the gridlock around here throughout the region? And then, as I said, pricing is a result of supply versus demand. If there were fewer people streaming into this area looking for apartments, then rates come down. And the free market would provide cheaper housing for the poor and working class citizens and legal immigrants to our state. A lot of illegals take the lowest paying jobs. Again, supply and demand. So that means that wages would rise for the poor and the working class, especially in our region. So how about that? We got politicians who say there's nothing we can do except tax you more. They say that we have to get people to change their lifestyle, get on trains, get on bikes. There's nothing we can do. Give us more money. That's a lie. All you have to do is what I've suggested right here and now. You can eliminate gridlock, lower housing prices, raise wages. Let's just try to provide disincentives for illegals coming here instead of incentives. And really, what's wrong with that? The legal immigrants, welcome. God bless you. You're part of the fabric of America. The illegals are taking quite a toll on our society. So there you go. My brilliant plan to save you money, not raise your taxes, make the region better, could do it immediately. Wouldn't have to wait 30 years like Sound Transit, which isn't going to do a thing in 30 years even. Are you with me? Up next in the Big Lead.
The Big Lead. Bizarro World.
Then I saw this story in the Seattle Times. Yakima County recorded its highest homicide total in 38 years. And they point out in the Seattle Times story that in 1983, there were zero homicides in Yakima. The county as a whole had eight homicides in 1982. Now it has skyrocketed. In Yakima, 16 homicides last year, 3 other violent deaths, and then there were 16 homicides elsewhere in Yakima County. As I read the Seattle Times story, I was wondering if they're going to provide any insight, explanation, and nobody knows why. And so I thought, because my listeners are really smart, and I have no idea why. So I'm going to see if you can help out. I think they closed the comments on this one, too, at the Seattle Times. So maybe people could have reached out there. So I'm going to, you know, open up the Online Trading Academy text line. Let me read to you just a little bit of the Seattle Times story. 19 people were reported killed in the city of Yakima in 2018, all but 3 of them considered homicides by Yakima police. Officials are still trying to figure out why the numbers have spiked as they examine the crime statistics. The interim police chief, Gary Jones, and you made a call over to the Yakima police this morning, Nicole?
I emailed the people in charge of booking, yes.
And what have we heard, Beth?
Nothing yet.
Oh.
Not to say that there won't be.
Okay. Because I want to see if we can help them, because I got a lot of brain power here among my listeners. The interim police chief says they all have their own unique characteristics. Now we go back and look for preventative measures. We need to look for patterns, he said. The worst year for homicides in the city and county in the past 38 years. And then they describe some of the homicides. 2 homicides occurred in the same place months apart. On July 19th, Eduardo Rodriguez Castaneda, 19, of Tyetin, was fatally shot in the parking lot near West Valley Middle School, the same place where Devante Mesa, 16, was also shot to death on November 23rd. Police arrested David Paul Ortega, an 18-year-old, in connection with the Rodriguez Castaneda killing, while Cameron Helland, 18, was arrested in Devante's death. The Yakima County Sheriff Detectives, they've investigated 4 homicides, including one in the Yakima County Jail. On December 9th, 36-year-old Jacob Ozuna was bludgeoned to death in a Norteño gang unit at the jail while awaiting trial on a murder charge himself. Sunnyside police also investigated 4 homicides with an arrest made in one of them, the November 26th stabbing of Jason Michael Espinoza, who's 36 years old. 15-year-old Joshua Christian Owens, another Yakima citizen, was shot in Toppenish. Authorities found the body of Jedediah Moreno, 30 years old, of Yakima, also murdered. So the police chief has no idea. He says, now we have to go back and look at preventative measures. We need to look for patterns, he says. The Seattle Times doesn't provide any speculation as to why it might be. And nor would I ever speculate, because I have no idea. It is indeed an unsolved mystery. And so if you have any thoughts, if I come up with anything that's really powerful and compelling, I could shoot it over to the Yakima police, or maybe if they agree to come on the show with me and trying to figure out why in a place in our state. It's the Palm Springs of Washington, you know, and they're trying to figure out why they have such a spike. And I would like to get to the bottom of this, too. So if you can help me out, drop me a text on the Online Trading Academy text line at 98973. Finally, in the big lead.
The big lead. Your tax dollars at work.
And are you ready to start paying for tolls on every single inch of roadway that you drive? Because that plan that I've been telling you about for a long, long time, it's continuing to get pushed really hard. The next step is tolling all of downtown Seattle. They call it congestion pricing. They want Seattle to be the first city in the United States to toll people to get into downtown. The same politicians who tell us that a wall on our border is immoral, they want to build a financial wall around downtown Seattle, one that only the upper middle class and wealthy can enter. They want to prevent everybody else from driving into Seattle. Now, if you want to ride your bike or take a bus, you can still do that. But if you have the kind of job where you have to drive your vehicle, they want to price you out of downtown Seattle. And so just today, our reporter, Hannah Scott, she talked to Mike O'Brien. Now, about a year ago, Mike O'Brien, he said, if people are too poor to be able to afford to drive through the new tunnel, then we, the government, should screw them over and make sure that we still get their money that they can't afford to give us.
Well, so like one option is folks that are on 99 that are going to try to divert to get out of the tunnel because they don't want to pay that toll. Do we have some sort of toll that says, hey, you're going to pay a toll one way or the other, so if you're going to use the tunnel, just use it.
Yeah, if you're too poor to afford to give $600 or $700 a year to government, then government should just find another way to get that $600 or $700. And so that's the evil of politicians who, man, I mean, do they want to screw over the poor and the working class and the middle class around here? They want to make Seattle a city where only upper middle and wealthy can drive into. It is so incredibly elitist. They want to put a toll on roads that you have already paid to build. So Mike O'Brien today told our Hannah Scott,
I think that's another tool that we need to have. Currently, the state legislature has given cities the opportunity to do tolling of city streets.
The opportunity. And that's a tool we need to have. No city in the United States of America does it. Jenny Durkin, in her, well, I think it's pure stupidity, or it just shows that she thinks you're stupid. She said, oh, they have it in London, where they started building a subway system in the 1800s, and you can get to within a few blocks of anywhere you need to go. Nothing like we will ever see in our lifetime in Seattle. And so Jenny Durkin was pitching that. But Mike O'Brien says it's a tool they need to have. But he does say he would put it to a vote. Is there anybody who would vote to put tolls on, to become the first city in the United States to put tolls on our downtown streets? Which, by the way, it's just the next step before they toll every inch of every road in the region. Could the voters of this region really be that stupid? There are a lot of stupid voters around here. Could they be that stupid? That is your big lead for today.
The big lead on Cairo Radio.
Okay, my brilliant plan, eliminate gridlock, lower housing prices, raise wages that I presented at the beginning of the hour. I'm going to talk to a guy who might be able to give some more insight into how many illegals we have around here. That's coming up right after we check the news here on the Dory Monson Show. Well, as I told you yesterday, the Seattle Times had a story about a new milestone in King County. Our immigrant population has topped 500,000 in King County. And what I said is, I know the Times and I use different verbiage because I think of immigration as a legal process. And I am fully supportive and 100% behind legal immigration being part of our melting pot and being part of, you know, how most of our families got to America. I fully support legal immigration. The problem is, I don't think of illegals as immigrants. I think of them as illegal aliens. And I'd like to know how many of those 500,000 are here illegally. The Times doesn't mention that. When readers started bringing it up in the comments section, the Times shut down, closed the comments section. So I thought I would talk to somebody who's become very expert on this subject, Craig Keller with Respect Why. He's worked on initiatives to give you the vote whether you want to be sanctuary cities and counties. And Craig Keller joins us here on the Dory Monson Show. Craig, always good to talk to you.
Dory, it's an absolute pleasure. Thank you.
Okay, so you've done a lot of work in this area, and you have wanted to give, like I just said, people the chance to vote on whether they want to be sanctuary cities. Why is this such a passion and focus in your life?
Because I honor honesty and truth above everything. And this is what we don't have today in the fake news. And I thank President Donald J. Trump for coming up with that term. It's so true. I mean, Dory, you've just told me that they've cut off the comments in their community outreach, they call it, community involvement, I think it is, at Seattle Times after these stories. And I know that from personal experience. I, to this day, cannot post online because after an article they wrote about our effort in Burien to give the citizens a chance to vote on whether they want their town to be a sanctuary or not, the Seattle Times cut off my ability to comment. So I just kind of laugh, but I think everyone out there needs to know that they are fake news. Everything we read here is highly manipulative, and it has an objective. They've turned an article into a sort of a data, you know, interesting look at population growth in King County. Well, it morphs into, oh, okay, so what is this on immigrants? And then it becomes a big cheerleading section for one of the most dishonest persons in the immigration debate, the congressman in the 7th District, of which my opponent this last time, she can't tell a difference between legal immigrant and illegal alien.
You're talking about Pramila Jayapal?
I am.
Yeah,
I
well,
am.
I've focused. She said something last week that was so dishonest, such a blatant, provable lie on this subject, and I called her out on that. Okay, so let me ask you the question. Do you have any idea of the 500,000? And I'm going to push back on calling the Seattle Times fake news, as you did. I want to just check that a little bit, because I like that the Seattle Times is out there. I think they're still a wonderful resource in the community, so I'll push back on you on that one, Craig. Having said all that, having said all of that, do you have any idea of the 500,000 what the Times calls immigrants are illegals in King County?
Well, first, the Seattle Times management is fake news. There's wonderful reporters and workers there. Sarah Jean Green reports on crime. I love reading. I'm a subscriber.
No, there are a lot of great reporters there, and Mike Lindblom's the best on transportation. So I just don't want to make this about the Seattle Times. So
no, but we have to know this because they're the one pushing this propaganda out. But to your direct question, in 2011, I did public research requests to the state Department of Transportation, and I encourage every citizen to know that they have this right. That's one thing that I completely agree with the Seattle Times on. Their business model depends upon access to public records.
Yes.
So does ours as citizens. And so I obtained from Department of Licensing back in 2011 a list of those who had driver's licenses issued to them without any Social Security numbers. Now, let me say, that doesn't mean that they're not legally in the country. There's all kinds of special situations and whatever. But the vast number of those people are people that don't belong in this country and they don't have a Social Security number. At that time, that was 353,000 individuals. They might not actually even still reside in the state of Washington because the state of Washington was such a corrupt point where people from around the country were able to come and not prove that they were here lawfully. And even to this day, they don't. I mean, they've made some changes, but
I want to make sure I understand this. So that was in 2011, statewide, there were 350,000 illegals.
There were that number of driver's licenses that were issued
without Social Security.
Social Security number. And most of your listeners, they're going to be the ones, they have a Social Security number. Of course they do. They're going to know that they're one of the proper people to have a driver's license.
Well, and clearly since 2011, in the 8 intervening years, there's been a massive push to make this a magnet destination in the country for illegals. Jay Inslee has made us a sanctuary state. We get an extra congressional seat because of the number of illegals that we have here in our state, which is the reason it's all about money and power. That's why it's not about public safety. It's not about infrastructure. It's all about money and power. And what are we, number five in population among all the states for number of illegals? I believe we're still number five.
Well, there's been great work by the Center for Immigration Studies on an estimate of the number of congressional seats that have been misallocated to states due to a population, an illegal alien population. And it's three or four, around 2010, it was, I think, about four or five, you know, Texas, California. I don't know if we can claim that, but we're,
we can. And I got it from the Center for Immigration Studies. Washington is a state that has an extra congressional seat because of the number of illegals who have landed here. And I only have about a minute left here, but, you know, when I see this Time story, we don't know what percentage of the 500,000 are illegals. Many people believe it is well above 50%. You know, but we don't know. Because as a sanctuary county, they don't keep the stats. They're not allowed to ask the question. So we don't know.
They don't.
But when I hear people like Jenny Durkin, Mike O'Brien, Dow Constein say that the reason for our gridlock around here is too many people and not enough infrastructure, and I think, well, wait a second. If we are asking illegals who get into this country to come here, if we make this the magnet destination for illegals, and then we blame too many people on our gridlock and so many of the other woes around here, it just seems like the politicians are, again, creating the very problem that they then decry and say they need more tax money to fix.
Because their power and ambition depends upon that growth. There's two levels of immigration. The reason we have a managed, measured, and disciplined immigration system is to manage, you know, is it really good that we have all our highways crammed, packed, and not moving in Puget Sound? No. And so that's why we have legal immigration system, so we can manage that. The people that don't want a managed system are people like Jayla Powell that want illegal entry. It's uncontrolled. And yes, it's not sustainable. These people want to talk about sustainability, the cost that it costs to run public transit, housing, upzoning that destroys people's views. All these things are control. We want to control and have some management over. Those Democrats that want unconstrained entry do not want that.
Yep, and, no, you're absolutely right. Hey, I'm out of time here. Look, Craig, I know that you are still working on citizens' initiatives that would just give people the right to vote on whether they want to be sanctuary cities. What's your website for that?
Thank you. RespectWashington.us. We're anticipating getting the sanctuary repeal votes back on the ballots in Burien and Spokane this year. I encourage people to check our website, support us. Yes, we're having to fight in the courts just to restore what people wanted with all their signatures. So we love people's support. We want to help other people around the region. So please contact us if we can do that.
There you go. RespectWashington.us. Craig Keller, appreciate it. Thanks for coming on with me.
Thank you, Dory.
I'd love to hear your thoughts on all this. You can text us at 98973. That's 98973. That's the Online Trading Academy text line. And we have lots more still to come here on the Dory Monson Show. Oh, I love one of our devoted P1 listeners, Linda. Linda sends me such great stuff. She sends me, she knows the show so well. She sends me links that are always relevant. She sends me audio that's always relevant. Linda just sent me this is one of the better audio clips I've heard in a long, long time. There is a radio host on Sirius XM. His name is David Webb. And he had on a woman who's an analyst on CNN named Areva Martin. And Areva Martin's African-American, and that it's relevant to this conversation. So the host of this show, he's telling Areva Martin that as a general rule, when applying for jobs, he cares more about his work-related expertise and experience, not skin color. And she lashes out at him for his white privilege, for saying that. And that's when you get one of the funniest things I've heard in a long, long time.
Primary requirement, regardless of ethnicity, regardless of network, be that they are capable of covering politics. For instance, if you're going to cover political campaigns, sports may not be the most qualified background, and that brings to the point of if people want to get into these fields, regardless of color, I've chosen to cross different parts of the media world, done the work so that I'm qualified to be in each one. I never considered my color the issue. I considered my qualifications the issue.
Well, David, you know, that's a whole nother long conversation about white privilege and things that you have the privilege of doing that people of color don't have the privilege of.
Okay. So the CNN analyst is making the point that this guy, this radio host, he doesn't have to worry about his skin color because he benefits from white privilege. And that's why he doesn't think about skin color when he applies for jobs or hires people. And again, that's when the conversation takes an interesting turn.
The issue, I considered my qualifications the issue.
Well, David, you know, that's a whole nother long conversation about white privilege and things that you have the privilege of doing that people of color don't have the privilege of.
How do I have the privilege of white privilege?
David, by virtue of being a white male, you have white privilege. This whole long conversation, I don't have time to get
Areva,
into
it. I hate to break it to you, but you should have been better prepped. I'm black.
Okay, then I stand.
See, you went to white privilege. This is the falsehood in this. You went immediately with an assumption. Your people, obviously, or you didn't look. You're talking to a black man.
They
who started out in rock radio in Boston, who crossed the paths into hip-hop, rebuilding one of the greatest black stations in America, and went on to work for Fox News, where I'm told apparently blacks aren't supposed to work, but yet you come with this assumption and you go to white privilege.
David,
that's actually insulting.
It is, and I apologize because my people gave me wrong information. They told
well,
me
the whole white privilege.
Her people gave her wrong information. By the way, Areva, you're going to be talking to a white man in this. What does she mean by people? She's a CNN analyst. What kind of people does she have? My people gave me wrong information.
It is, and I apologize because my people gave me wrong information. They told
well,
me
the whole white privilege thing is insulting.
David, can I apologize and correct the record? I want to apologize.
I want to correct the record. For the record, you're black.
I was given wrong information about you, and I apologize.
But based on my color, you were going to something that I was part of, and just to add to it, my family background is white, black, Indian. Arawak, Irish, Scottish. I mean, it's so diverse. I'm like the UN when it comes to this. And this is part of the problem with driving a narrative around a construct like white privilege.
Oh, that is one of the all-time great slapdowns you're ever going to hear. Fast 15 is coming up next.